This is an ABC podcast.
G'day, Dr. Carl here. Last time, I talked about ivermectin. You know, the drug that works really well against parasites, but not against COVID. So, how does a drug famous for treating worms come to get falsely promoted as a COVID cure? Think back to early 2020. Back then, there were no vaccines against COVID and no specific treatments. The dead bodies were piling up around the world. In New York City, the morgues were so full, the dead bodies had to be temporarily stored in refrigerator trucks. So, when a study published in Australia in April 2020 seemed to show that ivermectin could kill the SARS-CoV-2 virus, well, it was a glint of light in the dark. But there was a major problem. This study was not done on humans. Instead, it was done in test tubes and on monkey cells, not even human cells. It's pretty obvious that there's a huge gap between what works in a glass dish on the laboratory bench and what works in a sick human. As Dr. Jorge Caballero, a medical scientist involved in analysing COVID data, said, and I quote, "If Nobel Prizes were handed out for curing life-threatening diseases in a petri dish, then I and virtually every translational research scientist would have one." Unquote. So, the Australian study was just a first step. The obvious next step was to have proper randomised drug trials in humans, where patients with COVID were either given ivermectin or not given ivermectin. Unfortunately, the early hope that ivermectin might treat COVID did not come true. Many of the early ivermectin trials were badly designed. In their defence, the pandemic was a crisis, and they were pushed for time. In some studies, there were only very few patients, a dozen instead of hundreds. Some studies did not even have a control group of patients who did not get the ivermectin to compare with. Because time was so short, some papers were released to the general media even before they had been checked and published in a proper journal. Now, that's generally considered bad, because you miss out on the opportunity for your colleagues to find any mistakes before the errors get released to the general press. Other faults were that the patients had not been selected randomly. So, suppose that you rule out giving ivermectin to the really sick patients and give it only to the patients who are mildly ill. That will skew the results and make it look like ivermectin reduced the death rate. So, scientists were trying to get results as quickly as possible, but they were having trouble with study designs and timelines. Some studies had major problems with the data published in them. Sometimes, percentages were calculated incorrectly. Sometimes, the same patients were included over and over and over again, instead of just once, to make it look like there were hundreds of patients instead of just a dozen. And in some of the data, the results could not have occurred naturally. They were as unlikely as tossing a coin and getting heads 30 times in a row. There were also some con artists out to make a quick buck and get famous. One early major source of data about COVID and ivermectin was a company who claimed to have data on thousands of patients from 168 hospitals on 5 continents, including Australia. However, their data was manufactured from thin air. When other studies on ivermectin used this fictitious data, it really screwed the results. And then, There were even studies that actually had no real patients at all. They were total works of pure fantasy. Now, the good thing about proper science is that eventually it corrects itself. By late 2020, the first year of the pandemic, many obviously flawed studies had been retracted. This is polite scientific talk for, and I quote, "This study totally sucked, just ignore it," unquote. Then, by early 21, the first COVID vaccines were being rolled out. These vaccines were a massive lifesaver, and they worked as a preventive medication. So, 1 year down the line, COVID vaccines were helping, but COVID had not gone away and it was still killing people. In May 2021, there were still nearly 1,000 dead bodies stored in refrigerator trucks on the Brooklyn waterfront. By early 21, a massive split was obvious between the scientists who saw the reliable study results and the promoters of ivermectin. The scientific community, now that the flawed studies had been removed, did not have any good studies that showed that ivermectin could treat COVID. Ivermectin might or might not work, but there were no proper studies showing one way or the other. But against that, there was a huge rabbit hole of fake news that kept on quoting the flawed papers and insisting that ivermectin did work. They even faked quotes from the Nobel Prize winners who developed ivermectin, falsely claiming that ivermectin stopped COVID. It took until early 2022, about 2 years after the early Australian test tube results, to get enough well-designed, randomised control, double-blind studies on ivermectin and COVID. And you guessed it, the valid studies showed that ivermectin did not work against COVID. We now know that pushing ivermectin as a cure for COVID is incorrect and unfair. Selling treatments that don't work means people are paying good money for something that just won't help. And sometimes, it turns people away from things that do work, like vaccines. Losing money is one thing. But losing your health, well, that costs a lot more.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.